Call this meeting of Labor and Industry, Finance and Policy to order. Today is Tuesday, February 14th, 2023. Happy Valentine's Day to everybody.
Hello.
Representative Mekeland.
Yes, Mr. Chair.
You told me you got a chance to read the minutes.
I did, Mr. Chair.
And you have a motion for us?
I do have a motion to move the minutes.
Motion's been made to approve the minutes from February 9th, 2023. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Ayes have it. The motions are approved. Members, we have one bill on the calendar today. Representative Wolgamott, House File 23. You ready to go?
I sure am, Mr. Chair.
It looked like you were falling asleep over there. That's why I asked. And members, just so you know, we've got a long list of testifiers, and I'm not sure when they're going to get here because the Senate, some of them are over in the Senate right now, and then they're going to come over here. So the list may not go in the order on your list that's on your agenda, but we'll try and get through all of them. Welcome to your committee, Representative Wolgamott. You want to move your bill, and I understand we have an amendment, author's amendment.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Chair and Lead McDonald and committee members. I'm here before you this afternoon to present House File 23, the Safe Workplaces for Meat and Poultry Processing Workers Act. And, Mr. Chair, I do have an amendment that I would like to move at this time.
Yeah, well, first you have to move your bill. So,
I would like to move that my bill be referred to the Agriculture Committee.
Representative Wolgamott moves House File 23. And now if you want to move your DE amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to move the DE amendment.
DE amendments before us. And members, this is to put the bill in the order that the author would like. So all in favor of the DE amendment?
And I can explain a little bit, Mr. Chair, if you'd like.
With DE, it's going to be the whole bill. But, yes, Representative McDonald, do you have?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. No, I would agree with Representative Wolgamott if he could explain it before we vote on it.
Go ahead, Representative Wolgamott. Why don't you explain the amendment and what it does different from the bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Really not a lot changes as far as the essence of the bill. There are many technical reference updates. Language that was similar to this bill has been reviewed and passed in legislatures across the country. We borrowed some of their ideas in crafting this legislation, but we needed to update the language so it would fit within Minnesota statutes. A couple of other noteworthy bills. We had heard concerns in years past and in the past months about having a threshold. The intention of this legislation is not to impact the kind of the mom and pop meat places. So the bill also limits the bill to impact meat processing facilities with 50 employees or more. And then the other big change that it makes, Mr. Chair and members, is regarding an unemployment insurance section that was in the bill. When we brought this bill before this committee, I believe it was in 2021, Representative McDonald brought forward some good points about how this was not necessary because Minnesota law already covers workers under this for the reasons outlined in the original bill. So after hearing that, taking that feedback from that Representative McDonald brought to this bill in years past, and in consultation with the Department of Labor and Industry, we have removed the unemployment insurance section from the bill.
Representative McDonald.
No, very good. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative Wolgamott.
With that, members, well, all in favor of the DE amendment to put the bill in the order that the author would like, please say aye.
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 Opposed? Ayes have it. We have the bill in front of us. So, Representative Wolgamott, if you want to explain, if you got more explanation for bill, why don't you explain the bill?
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair and members. During the COVID-19 outbreak, I heard heartbreaking and horrifying stories from my constituents who in central Minnesota who were working in inhumane conditions at a local meat processing plant. And that's why I've authored this bill, House File 23, the Minnesota Safe Workplaces for Meat and Poultry Processing Workers Act. As the chair mentioned, we have some testifiers who are here today. You'll hear some of those stories, along with stories from meat processing workers all over our state. The intention of this legislation is to provide comprehensive workplace health and safety protections and to ensure that workers have access to the benefits and training needed to work safely during pandemic times and during all times. It's important to all Minnesotans that we have safe working conditions in our meat and poultry processing plants. Additionally, I'll just kind of walk you through the bill section by section. So again, as was mentioned, Section 2 has some definitions, and want to be clear that we are talking about businesses with 50 or more employees. Section 3 creates a workers' rights coordinator to be housed within the Department of Labor and Industry. Section 4 includes a right to refuse, that any meat processing worker has the right to refuse to work under dangerous conditions. Section 5 goes through the enforcement and compliance. Talks about how the workers' rights coordinator will be appointed by the Department of Labor Industry Commissioner and have the ability to enforce all the provisions of this act, with the ability to prosecute and or investigate by the Attorney General, District Attorney, or any city or county attorney. Section 6 prohibits retaliation against employees and whistleblowers if they raise a concern about the meatpacking operations' health and safety practices. Section 7 creates a safe worker program. And what that does, Mr. Chair, is it has in members is that meat processing employees must adopt a safe worker program as part of the work accident injury reduction program to minimize and prevent musculoskeletal disorders. And it lays out certain criteria for who is made up on that safe worker program board. Subdivision 7 of this section contains some protections that are specific to pandemics. So these would only apply during a peacetime public health emergency, similar to what we saw with the COVID-19 pandemic. And there are various things pertaining to employers maintaining at least a 6-foot radius of space, meat processing employers providing personal protective equipment, the opportunity for workers to frequently and routinely sanitize their hands, regular cleaning and disinfecting of all frequently touched surfaces. It also has where there is a all meat processing workers provide paid sick time, so it would be a ratio of 1 hour of paid sick time for every 30 hours worked. And then carrying on, Section 8 pertains to notifications. Meat processing employers must provide written information and notifications about the rights that are outlined in this bill. And then last, Mr. Chair, this bill appropriates $360,000 in fiscal year 2024 and $169,000 in fiscal year 2025. Representative McDonald, I heard you loud and clear about making sure that we have bills with fiscal notes come before the committee. So there is a preliminary fiscal note that lays out in depth what the costs of those appropriations will be that we have for you, Representative McDonald. So there you go, Mr. Chair and members. That is what House File 23 contains. And again, the intent here is that we have the backs of the workers who are putting food on our tables. One last thing of context before we before I kick it over to the testifiers, Mr. Chair. In 2007, the Minnesota legislature passed the Packing House Workers Bill of Rights, which is great. It does require employees to provide meatpacking workers with information about their rights, but it has not proven adequate to protect the safety and rights of our meatpacking workers, and we really saw that exacerbate during the COVID-19 pandemic. So this bill is to beef that up and to make sure that we are having the backs of the workers who are putting food on our tables. And with that, Mr. Chair, I have some testifiers who can share more stories and insights as to why it is important that we pass this legislation on to the Agriculture Committee.
Thank you, Representative Wolgamott. I've got a list here, and hopefully I'll go down the list, and if you're here, I'll come up to the table and give your testimony. First person on my list is Tamara Nelson, and welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Tamara Nelson with an EN. Respect to your your nationality as well, sir. Chair Nelson and members of the committee, my name again is Tamara Nelson, and I serve as Executive Director of the Minnesota AgriGrowth Council. I want to say first that we appreciate the outreach from Representative Walgamott and also Senator Putnam to discuss this bill, and we appreciate the opportunity to make input. Also, we appreciate and are thankful for the other recommendations that have already taken place through the amendments, because that makes my list a little shorter. We are a nonprofit, nonpartisan membership organization, so we have members all the way from individual farmers to small businesses to co-ops to lenders to all the way to Fortune 500 companies. So we have about 160 members across the state, and they play a critical role in bringing food and fiber and fuel products to our state, our nation, and the world. AgriGrowth itself serves as a convener and a trusted source of information, and so we feel that our industry-wide perspective is something really necessary in a state where agriculture, food, and forestry is our second largest economic driver. I will tell you that we ask our members every year, and we meet with them often to ask them what are their top priorities. And I can tell you, and this makes me very happy, that in the last 4 years since I've been here, worker wellness, safety, and well-being has been a top priority for them. AgriGrowth and our members support opportunities to improve the health and well-being of agriculture and food workers, and so we're happy to work with others towards that end. We have no objections to elements of the bill that work reasonably and efficiently to do that. We have a few concerns just with elements of the bill that might be considered very broad or might duplicate existing positions. In one section where it defines what a meat processing employee is, we do want to mention that egg production, pet food, meat and poultry canning, and rendering are highly automated jobs in usually involving less than 10 or a dozen workers in a very large facility. So there's a lot of automation in those areas, and so we feel if the initiative is to protect the most workers, it should be focused on those that might be at most risk. We think that including all of those segments might dilute the power and effectiveness of the bill. Also, there's mention in there of having a special position to focus on meat and poultry processors. We do feel that Dolly does a great job. Maybe their structure or their number of employees could be beefed up, but we think that creating a position to focus exclusively on meat and poultry production kind of dilutes other effectiveness in other manufacturing areas in our state, so we would ask for some caution there. And then obviously paid time off is a huge priority this year in Minnesota, and so we really question whether or not providing additional support or paid time off for meat and poultry workers is necessary. Again, our industry works very hard to be innovative. We do appreciate the input of the workers and also of others here that have been and are going to testify. And we think it's important because we do want to be a bellwether state for how we treat our workers, and because our members cannot run their farms and their businesses without our valuable workers. Mr. Chair and committee members, I appreciate your time, and thank you again to Representative Walgamott for introducing this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Nelson. The next person on my list is Greg Andres. Again, welcome to the committee, and then state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Mr. Walgamott. My name is Greg Andres. I'm owner-operator of Greg's Meat Processing, small meat processing shop down here in Southern Dakota County. I'm kind of representing the small meat shops right now. The average small meat shop has approximately 8 to 10 employees, and we're located across all sections of the state. Some of these notes I wrote down last night before I knew the amendment was added to it, so you know, I didn't find out till now, so I didn't have enough time to rework it. A lot of our businesses are in the 50 range. You know, some of the small meat processors that we'd ask that maybe we could raise that number a little higher than 50. You got Schmitz Meats down in Nicollet down there, the home of where our governor is from, Mankato, and they're getting close to 60. Small family-owned shop. Everybody works together. Lawrence Meats down here in Cannon Falls has about 150. They specialize in local farmers, The grass-fed meat, the organic meat, and that's what they specialize in, that kind of stuff, which is the local farmers need to process. For all of us around that size, I've got about 25, 30 employees. The requirement would require a certified professional agronomist, and there's a licensed board's position with preference to a physician who has specialized experience and training in occupational medicine, and three workers of a complete general industry outreach course approved by the commissioner. That portion we would not have a problem with. It's good to train our workers. But I don't think we can afford to have a physician. And I know Mayo or Health East or Alina is never going to send a doctor out to our small shops, look at our plans, and sign off on them, because then they got liability. I mean, there's just the odds against that happening is just about zip. Meat processor employer must provide each worker with no less than 8 hours of safety training each year. That's reasonable. Medical management of musculoskeletal disorders under direct supervision of a licensed physician specialized in occupational medicine. That's another thing us family-owned shops could never afford to hire somebody to come in and do. I mean, it's just impossible. And no big company's going to send their doctors out, look at our plans, and sign off on them, because then they would have liability. So I think that's something that I just don't understand how a small family-owned business could ever accomplish that. Another thing with the pandemic, and this is something we'd have to be ready for just in case, you know, nobody ever wants to see it again, but the ventilation system to ensure on-directional airflow, outdoor infiltration of both production areas and common areas. You know, to hire architects, consultants, a lot of our buildings are 50. My original building is 50 years old. A lot of the meat processors have plants that are 50, 75 years old. They were never designed to do this. I mean, it would be just, you would shut them down. A lot of plants are being sold for $150,000, $200,000. I know I had a look at putting a sprinkler system in last year. They wanted $175,000 just for the sprinkler system, not alone the water that had to be stored above the building. I mean, some of these costs, small family businesses would never be able to do. And the paid sick leave for workers to operate, most of us are operating on a pretty tight budget for employees. We have a hard time keeping employees, which is just the nature of the business nowadays. But, I mean, to add an extra hour sick leave for every 30 hours, it would be above the state standard. I don't know any other business, small businesses in the state that would have to do that. You know, that's where I'm thinking the family-owned businesses are really, this bill was never meant to shut us down. I know that. But it's just a matter of, you know, the status of it is right now would really make it hard, like the Lawrence's for Schmitz. And if my son takes the business over and grows, it puts a cap on how far you can go because you don't want to cross that 50 threshold. I think it's just set a little too low for growth and production for small processors. We all want to grow. We all like to see our kids come over and take it over. And so it would put a cap on where they can grow to. In conclusion, we know it was never your intention to regulate the small processors out of business. The bill passed in its current form will shut down farmers markets that rely on local processors for them to sell their fresh meats and sausages there. Many small farmers use the local processors to sell the animals that they raise on the farm. The small farmer needs that income. It will also affect the Muslim and Jewish communities. Small processors operate underneath kosher and halal. To be processed under these religious guidelines, you have to be working with a small processor. You can't take an animal down to Iowa Beef and say, I want my animal back. They're processing 10,000 a day or whatever. Many immigrants have started small processing shops to fill this need. One of the inspectors that was working with the Department of Ag, an equal to inspector, Mr. Getichu, just opened up a halal processing shop down on, I think, 35W. One of the Levi from the state of Minnesota will be able to tell you exact location, but he worked with Mr. Getichu for many years, and he's got four employees, but he operates underneath halal and stuff like that.
You can wrap up, sir. We have a lot of...
Okay, all right.
But you're doing a good job, but just...
Okay, I would think that would probably take care of my main talking points. Thank you for your consideration. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Yep.
And I saw Representative Wolgamott shaking his head on a lot of your stuff, so he's listening. The next person, again, reminding people that we have a lot of testifiers, that if you can keep it short, concise, that would be better so we can get through everybody. The next person I have on the list is Claudia Ambritz. Is Claudia here? Welcome to the committee, and state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Hello, everybody. My name is Claudia Ambritz, and I have been living in Austin for the past 17 years, and that is how long I have been working also for Quality Pork Processors. I'm a member of the UFCW Local 663 and a Union Safety Committee member for many years. We have the right to work in a safe environment, and this legislation creates industry standards within the meatpacking industry that are long overdue. Over the years, I've seen accidents that are somewhat small, like cuts and muscle pain, and some are other accidents like hogs falling down and hitting employees. We had a member that was working on the rework skinner that he got the skinner too close to him. He ended up skinning part of his chest and his belly. But every time something like this happened for us as a safety committee member, we go to the floor and investigate and try to do an investigation to see what we can do and make things for them better. We have safety walks also around the plant, and we get to talk to the people to see if they have any concerns, but sometimes they're afraid to talk and say their concerns. On Wednesdays, we have the orientation where we hear all kinds of stories from other places where people have worked, and they say that they got fired the first week because they went to seek medical treatment too many times. If they get hurt, they get fired. Employees don't understand that workers need quality training, and instead of providing that training, they let go of workers because they see labor as disposable. There are more people that take safety very seriously, yet there's a lot of companies that don't care. Here at QBP, for all new hires starting, they go through a training and have to go 2 more weeks for exercising and stretching, but they don't understand that 2 weeks is not enough time when you're doing a repetitive motion work. During COVID-19 pandemic, we had a lot of employees that quit, and many jobs have to be shut down. Employees were moved to another job, but they don't understand that they get hurt because they don't know those jobs yet. The speed line was slower, yes, but the employees don't get that we get hurt because we don't know those jobs. We always want workers to go home to their families the same way they come to work, alive and safe. I wish all companies within the poultry and meatpacking plants would have a safety committee, and this legislation is an opportunity to make that wish into a reality. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your testimony. The next person I have on my list is Dan Lenway, and then after that is Matt Carnes. So if you get yourself ready, welcome to the committee. Again, state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony.
First of all, thank you for listening to our stories, our issues, and our concerns. My name is Dan Lenway. I am from Austin, Minnesota. I've worked at Hormel Foods in Austin for over 27 years. I'm a UFCW walking steward in the plant also. During my time at Hormel's, I've seen injuries, unfortunately, have become the norm in the meatpacking plant. These include some of carpal tunnel, arthritis, tendonitis, lacerations, torn rotator cuffs, hearing loss, anxiety, physical and mental fatigue, and of course, we all know COVID. Several more to add to that. Then we have other injuries that can lead to life-altering changes, such as chemical burns, forklift accidents, broken bones, and I could go on and on. I personally have seen a couple of instances where I had a woman recorded a pallet stand. The weight balance was not properly working. She reported it. Of course, production is more important than safety, so they told her to keep running. They put up a load on the pallet jack or stand. It tipped, came down, broke both of her ankles and both of her feet. To this day, she is using a cane and permanently disabled. Another gentleman, he was working on a belly press. So once again, he recorded this safety features were not working properly, reported it. Of course, once again, production overweight safety. Went to work shortly after, The press got his two fingers and his thumb, 1,800 pounds of pressure in that press, totally crushed it. He was stuck in that press for a half hour before they could get him out of there. He was writhing in pain. I stood there and watched the whole thing. It was unbearable. Many of these injuries could have been and can be avoided. If they don't take precedence, production over safety, a lot of these are avoided. People don't get proper training. Supervisors are not properly trained. Management continues to run too fast, short-staffed, and corporate greed just does not allow management to maintain machinery to protect our people. This needs to be a time when health and safety isn't just a topic of discussion anymore. It needs to be something that's practiced and enforced every single day of our workplace. Thank you for your time and thank you for listening.
Thank you for your testimony. Thank you. Matt Carnes. Next one is Jamara Torres. And I hope I said your first name right. Welcome to committee. Please state your name for the tape.
Hi, my name is Matt Carnes. I work for Quality Park Processors. I also work for the UFCW as a walking representative for the day shift. I worked for Quality Park Processors for 18 years. Most of my time I spent on the production floor. I mean, I've seen a wide variety of injuries. Like 6 months ago, in this position alone, I had a gentleman on second shift have a forklift accident where the forks literally went through the bottom part of his leg. And this guy's in his early 20s. So this is an injury that's going to affect him for the rest of his life, potentially. Our line speeds, I mean, we're running 1,325 hogs an hour. When I first started in 2005, I mean, we're running like 1,100. I know that doesn't seem like a big gap, but a big change, but it truly, really is. I mean, these hogs are so close to each other that you have no time to do anything. I mean, the repetitive injury accidents have went up dramatically since that, you know. I mean, carpal tunnel, that's the biggest thing in the plant, you know, from just pure repetitive motion. I mean, you're doing the same job all day long, physically hard jobs. The COVID pandemic, the line speeds really didn't even slow down that much. I mean, maybe 100 hogs an hour, but the hours increased. You're working nine and a half hour days now. So now it's the repetitive injuries went up even more because you're prolonged longer to those line speeds. That's basically all I really have to say.
Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Jamara Torres. She's not here yet. Jaleesa Lopez. And I apologize if I said it wrong.
I go by Jay, so you're okay. My name is Jaleesa Lopez, and I go by Jay. Members, my name is Jaleesa Lopez again, and I live in Worthington, Minnesota. I basically grew up there, and sometimes would travel back and forth from Texas with my family. I am a UFCW Local 663 member, and I work at JBS in Worthington. Before that, I worked at High Life in Wendell, Minnesota. I work at the packing line, making sure ribs are packaged so Minnesotans' families have food to eat. I have not been working in the plant very long, but I can tell you, in my short time there, are lots of health and safety issues, especially with repetitive motion injuries. There was a fellow union member, a woman in her 30s, that became my friend. She had worked in the plant for years and had to have surgery on her wrist from repetitive motion injuries. After all this, she continued working in the plant and continued to have health issues with her wrist as well as constant headaches and nosebleeds. She had to quit because the work just became too much. Please support the Safe Workplace for Meat and Poultry Processing Workers Act today so we can try and address these injuries. Thank you for the opportunity to allow me to speak.
Thank you for your testimony.
Thank you.
Fimpa Kamani. And again, I apologize if I butchered your name. That wasn't intentional. Welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record.
Hello, my name is Pimpa Galmany. I work at the JBS in Worthington, Minnesota. I'm asking you to support the Safe Workplace for Meat and Poultry Processing Workers Act. I'm grateful to be a union member. I've seen firsthand the difference that a union can make. Because many of my family members also work at JBS in Worthington, where we are members of UCW Local 663. At the same time, four of my cousins work at a different JBS plant that's just an hour away from us in Pipestone. For example, a couple years ago, the electricity went out, and we got paid for 4 hours, then got sent home. My cousins in Pipestone got sent home with no pay when the electricity went out at the non-union JBS plant. But even with the protections we have through our union contract, we are still working a very dangerous job. In the 11 years that I've been working in meatpacking plants, I have had injuries to my back and to the nerves that run from my neck all the way down my arms. The doctors said that I have a pinched nerve in my lower back, which runs all the way down my legs. So basically, I can't hold the weight right. And they said when I get older, I might even not be able to walk. My dad has been at JBS for almost 30 years, and even though he's 61, he knows that he needs to retire early since he knows his body can't take it anymore. Please support our bill and workers like me and my family. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. For Hani Bakili. How would I do? Welcome to the committee. State your name for the record.
My name is Brane Bakili. I live in Austin, Minnesota. I work at Hormel Food. I've been as a UFCW member for 23 years. Then I work QP. And my injuries, first one, it was I pulled my muscle on my shoulder. Then I did not complain about it. I just kind of deal with it on my own. And every time trying to say something, nobody liked to listen. And my second one is the worst is I had a carpenter on my both hands. And I go to medical, they send me to the hospital deny my treatment a couple times and my surgeries, and they didn't want to do it, and then I kind of keep going back and forth with the union help, and they helped me, and then we went through. And what kind of hurts me is I drop my coffee cup a couple times, and then I complain I can't sleep at night, and they didn't want to listen, and it got to the point it get worse, and I just had a baby, and I couldn't hold my babies. I have to use my elbows to hold my babies, and it hurts. And I wouldn't doubt it they've done to other people too, but for me, that's the worst part. And for us to protect the other people, as we are employees, we work all together to help each other out, but we need people to work with us to support each other as they used to. A company, they will listen to us, yeah, but for today, but not tomorrow. And the next person, it won't be there. Take that kind of stuff to say, well, I'm not going to deal with it. I'll just go my own way. But if we have people to listen to us as employees, to understand us and feel our pain the way we feel it, I think it will help us and then make the company understand how hard it is to live with pain, because as we live in pain, we're not just the only one live in pain. It's our whole family and friends. So the reason I'm here is for you guys to support us as a meet company workers, to hear our voice, and the company can work with us as we, they used to work with all of us. That's why we're here, for you guys' support. And thank you for having me here to thank share my
for,
story.
Thank you for your testimony. Dan Barnes. And then I have a Callie Martell after that. Welcome to the committee. State your name for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you. But it almost felt like you were cheating with that name.
That's.
Hi, my name is Dan Barnes. I've been working at Quality Pork and been in the Austin area for the past 32 years. I have three adult children now living in Iowa, so been down that road too. Being with 663, I've also been a steward on the floor for the past approximately 6 years, and that brings me in front of a lot of issues. When folks are having a hard time, when folks are having disagreements, I'm in the office with them, making sure that they're representative. And I myself had a back injury a number of years ago, a lower back, just a stress-related injury. not the end of the world, but it was sore for a while. If you've ever had a lower back injury, you know what that's about. I also had carpal tunnel of the finger. I was using a draw knife at the time, so you're using two hands like this. Well, eventually, if your knife's not sharp enough, you'll get what they call trigger finger. So then you're waking up in the morning and you're bending those fingers back out, or they simply just don't work. And the biggest thing I think I wanted to bring up to you folks is the line speed. As a steward at Quality Pork, we are the cut and kill for Hormel. I'm in the office every day to check line speed. And we are legitimately running between 1326 and 1330 per hour. And just to give you a perspective on exactly what that means those hogs are coming in so fast that we actually have sway bars, or anti-sway bars, if you were. Otherwise, you would have, I'm sure everyone's seen the fair ride with the swings that go way out like this. Well, that's exactly what hogs will do at 1330 per hour without the sway bars. So that gives you a perspective on exactly how crazy this industry has become because of greed. Anyway, thank you for your time.
Thank you for your testimony.
Thank you.
Callie Martell. And then after that, I have Rena Wong.
Hello, I'm Callie Martell. I've been in Austin pretty much all my life. I have two daughters. I had a husband that passed away 5 years ago. He worked at Hormel's. Anyway, I've been part of the local 663 for the same amount of time since 1991. And I have had injuries before. I had tendonitis in my wrist, and that was because they decided to speed up the line one day so that we can get done early, but that was many years ago. Anyway, I'm part of the safety committee, and I'm also part of the ergonomics committee, and we go around and assess different jobs, you know, to see, you know, like the movements that people do, and different things like that. And I do believe that with the line speed, ergonomics is a big thing right now, because our movements and our jobs are what we're doing is, you know, from years ago where the line speed wasn't quite as fast. So that's a topic that we really need to look upon. And I also walk around and make sure that people have their PPE on. And if they don't, if I see that they're doing something that's unsafe, I have to report it to the supervisors. And sometimes I feel like the supervisors really aren't always on board with it. Or they don't notify the worker and say, hey, you know, what you're doing is unsafe. So I think we need to have more people on board with it. We need to have more safety people in our committee. And I guess that's all I have to say right now. So please support us in this act. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, I understand Rena's not in the room yet, so Jama Alamad. And then I have Ma Elena Gutierrez. Welcome to the committee. State your name for the record and proceed.
Yeah, my name is Malena Gutierrez, and I organize in Central Minnesota. Our office is in St. Joseph's Church in Way Park, and I write my testimony. Just 1 second. Okay, Chair Nelson and committee members, thank you for give us the opportunity to testify in favor of F23. The safe workplaces for meat and poultry processing work act. I am nervous. Hello, my name is Marlena Gutierrez. I am a Central Minnesota Coalition Director from Unidos Minnesota. I lead Faith and Justice Minnesota. We are a faith-based Latino striving to bring justice and provide kindness and compassion to our community throughout Central Minnesota. There is many immigrant workers who work hard in the meat and poultry packing and processing plants every day to feed Minnesota, to feed you, me, and all of us. Even before the coronavirus pandemic, I heard stories from workers who were hurt on the job. They are making the same motions over and over to process animals. So it is very easy to get hurt. For a lot of the workers, English is not their first language. Sometimes they do not have enough training. Sometimes they do not understand the training because of the language. And sometimes they do not know who or where to go if they have been hurt. At the height of the pandemic, the stories have been even worse. I heard from many workers in Pilgrim's Pride, there were many cases of COVID, and the company hid the information from the workers. A female worker was told by the Pilgrim's nurse station that she felt symptoms because of her menopause. But she tested positive even when workers still had symptoms. They were told to go back to work. I heard from a worker that he got COVID at work and brought it home to his wife, who was pregnant. She delivered the baby before 9 months. And she delivered the baby at the ambulance. All of them ensure food made into the table while the state navigate a crisis. Many people work in the plant and live in a larger St. Cloud area. So when there is outbreak in the plant, there is an outbreak in the community. When workers get hurt at the plant, that impacts the community because they live here, shop here, have kids at the school here. This is why it is so important to make sure meat and poultry workers are healthy and safe. We are all connected. I ask you to help workers and help our community. Thank you for your time. God bless you and keep you safe and healthy. Thank you.
Thank you, Marlena. Just to check again, Rena Wong, Jama Alamed. If not, I guess we'll open it up for questions. Member questions. Representative McDonald. You want Representative Mecklen?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. To the author, I actually have quite a few questions, Mr. Chair. But to the author of the bill, I mean, we just heard an awful lot of really horrific stories from hardworking testifiers here, and I guess at least you got a day off today, so you're not going to get hurt. We have currently much of this already in statute, like whistleblower protections. Is there some reason that they're not covered by this currently?
Representative Wolgamott.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Mecklen. I'm glad that we all, you know, share our concern for these workers and are touched by the stories that they share. And we want to make sure that when there are bad faith employers who are not doing their jobs of protecting their workers and making sure that you know, that are, that especially the new rights that will be created by this legislation, we want to make sure that when there are people who blow the whistle, who call them out on that, that they're able to do so and have those protections. So, yeah, we really want to make sure that people are able to call out bad faith actors and have those protections in statute.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Mecklen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The question was, are they not currently protected under the current whistleblower protection laws?
Representative Wolgamott.
I guess I would need to take a look at the statute that you're describing, Representative Mecklen, but again, we want to really make sure that this is focused in on meat processing employers and the things that are happening because people are raising concerns about a meatpacking operations, health and safety practices.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Mecklen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I don't know if that was quite the answer, but I'll move on. It talks, even the retaliation against whistleblowers is in the next part, and there's already much statute on that one. Does this have the possibility to create conflict within multiple statutes, basically dueling against one another? And I guess more so what I'm really stumped about, with all these laws currently in the law, and I ran into this in energy a couple years ago with whistleblower laws, but where is MnOSHA not enforcing this stuff? I mean, how can all these people have all these injuries and they went to their supervisors, but at some point, where is MnOSHA and the Department of Labor not to enforce what is very extensive? I think Chair Nelson and I would both agree. We've seen OSHA on our job sites. I mean, they're out there, they're doing their thing, but why are they not down and enforcing all the laws at these facilities?
Representative Wolgamott.
Mr. Chair, I believe that we have the Commissioner from the Department of Labor in industry here. Maybe she can better speak to what our current those current practices are.
Welcome to the committee. State your name for the record and proceed. Maybe you can give the answer that Representative Meck was asking.
Great. Thanks, Chair Nelson. Members of the committee, my name is Nicole Blissenbach. I'm currently the commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Labor and Industry. And I think to the question that's being asked, there are in current law protections for people who raise safety and health concerns at work. And in fact, the provisions of this bill refer directly to that. They say pursuant to section 182.669, which is the discrimination provision of the OSHA statute in Minnesota. So this bill is referring to that statute.
Representative Mecklen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So help me understand, why do we have this in the bill if it already is in statute, and why is it not getting, what's currently on statute is not clearly not being enforced, or we wouldn't have all of these stories that we currently have? And if it's existing statute, why do we have to have it again?
Representative or Commissioner?
Chair Nelson, members of the committee, there are aspects to this bill that are additions to the discrimination provision in the OSHA statute. So if you look at 4.19 and proceeding after that, there are prohibitions on having an employee sign a contract that would limit the worker from disclosing certain information. There is information that prohibits certain information being asked for that are not covered by current statute. And to address the question about OSHA is required to respond to serious injuries as well as fatalities, and we do so. We are also required, if there is a complaint that identifies a hazard at work and that complaint is sent in to OSHA, we do respond to that with one of our OSHA inspectors.
Representative Mecklen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The testifier, Dan Lenway, can he answer a question for me? Is Dan Lenway still here?
Come on down. And if anybody else in the audience can be prepared. Also, when Representative Mecklen is done, I see Rena Wong has come into the room. We'll let her get her testimony out of the way. And has Jama Alamed? We'll take care of hers and then Wong. But Representative Mecklen, finish your line of questioning.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Make sure I have this right. Dan.
Yes.
You gave some pretty specific stories of some pretty serious injuries.
Correct.
Were those did OSHA or Department of Labor, did they investigate and then rectify whatever led to that? I mean, has that situation that caused that to happen, was it dealt with all the different regulations that we have? I mean, did they work for what they were intended to do?
Mr. Lennon.
So on the first situation where the pallet fell and broke the legs, that one was followed through and addressed. The second one where the belly press crushed her hand, they were scheduled to show up on a given day, and they never showed up ever. So I was on that job for 2 years after that, and they never, ever showed up to investigate on that line. And I know that for a fact.
Mr. Chair.
Representative.
And Mr. Lenway, in your opinion, did the organization that was established to protect you and your coworkers, did they let you down?
Mr. Lenway.
OSHA let us down. That's my gut feeling. So can I expand on that a little bit?
Please do.
Go ahead, Mr. Lenway. You've got...
Okay, so where I'm at now, even now, on a given day, I'm the chief steward, so I hear from many members every single day on the floor. I have members calling OSHA now expressing concerns, and OSHA basically tells them, no, you just have to put in a complaint because we're months out. There's no way we can come see you. That's every single day. I could call her today and make that phone call, and they would tell me, 4 months out, you just have to put an informal complaint in. Even though I've got a situation down right now where I've got a vacuum pump howling at 100 decibels a day. 8 hours a day, you're down there listening to that whistle in your ears every single day. And HR's come down, the plant manager's come down, safety manager, everybody's come down to do it. I personally called OSHA, and they said, you have to put an informal complaint in because we don't have time to get there. Well, so every day, you sit there 6 days a week, listen to that whistling in your ears. I mean, it's going to drive you crazy, for one thing. I mean,
Representative Mecklen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
One more question, then we'll get the last testimony. Representative Mecklen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, Mr. Lenway, this isn't the biggest bill I've seen, but there's quite a bit in here.
Yep.
If they're not enforcing what's already in statute, how is this going to help?
Well, that's where we need your help.
Representative Lenway.
Oh, so that's where we need your help, yeah, to help enforce this bill. So it doesn't help us. If I can say all I want and sing to the stars and it doesn't help at all, if I have the backing of the legislature to push OSHA and who we can to help us, that's what we need.
One quick follow-up comment, Mr. Chair.
Representative Wolgamott, do you want to answer?
Oh, yeah, just to answer your previous question, Representative Mecklen. So, too, this bill, if you take a look at Section 3, we are creating a position of worker rights coordinator that is specific on the meatpacking industry. So, as you can see, it includes inspecting, reviewing, recommending improvements to practices and procedures of meatpacking operations in Minnesota. Clearly, we need to do more to enforce safe workplaces in these processing plants. And so that's why this legislation has that worker rights coordinator. And then, too, when you're talking about enforcement, starting there on Section 5, page 3 of the bill, it has all of the different powers that the commissioner has to enforce this legislation and make sure that bad faith actors are being held accountable and make sure that complaints such as what we're just discussing are being investigated and consequences being enforced.
And Representative Weckl, do your follow-up.
It's just
then we'll get the testimony. We've got other
questions. Can I say one more thing?
Mr. Lenway.
Okay. So I'm going to go back on the man that had his hand crushed in the belly press. So he applied for an accounting job at Hormel Foods before he started in the plant. He was denied that because he's from Sudan, and it wasn't legal here. Okay, so he got hurt. No sooner, he was in the hospital. They went up to the hospital and offered him that accounting job the next day. What's that tell you? They're just trying to cover their butts. I mean, that's.
Thank you, Mr. Lundy. Yep.
Just quickly, Mr. Chair. This isn't only meatpacking. We've heard this in other hearings in this committee.
Yep.
That Dolly's not showing up where they're supposed to be showing up, or OSHA. There was a bill we heard that was heard a year ago, with the Amazon bill, and they never even followed up on all the stuff that was testified on a year ago.
Yep.
I don't think this is a requires new legislation thing. I think this is these departments got to be held accountable and do what their job is.
I agree.
Thank you, Mr.
I can't
Chair.
Do that. So.
Ms. Wong, you want to come down on your testimony? I had you passed it because you were over in the Senate. Welcome to the committee. State your name for the record. And
Good afternoon, Chair and members. My name is Rena Wong, and I'm the president of the United Food and Commercial Workers Local 663. Apologies for being a little bit late. Our questions and discussion in the Senate ran a little bit over.
I realize that. That's why we went down the list and we notified that at the beginning, but I'm glad you're here now.
Thank you. So I represent 17,000 hardworking union, retail, meatpacking, processing, food preparation, manufacturing, healthcare, and other workers in Minnesota. I'm here to stand with the thousands of essential workers in the meatpacking and poultry workers industry throughout Minnesota and ask you to pass the Minnesota Safe Workplaces for Meat and Poultry Processing Workers Act, House File 23. This provides comprehensive workplace health and safety, worker protections, and improves the security of our food supply. Meatpacking is one of the most dangerous industries, even in the best of times. Health and safety is continuously brought up as one of the most important issues. The global COVID-19 pandemic pulled back the curtain on this industry. The pandemic led to an extremely dangerous work environment and subsequent COVID outbreaks at meatpacking plants throughout the country. I'm sure you've heard about the outbreaks in Minnesota, JBS in Worthington, Pilgrim's Pride in Cold Spring, Hormel in Austin, and many others where thousands of essential workers are employed. Together with the state of Minnesota, we worked very closely with OSHA and we did what we could to help workers. We're thankful for that partnership, but we know OSHA and the Department of Labor need more resources. As we just heard from Dan Lenway earlier, OSHA does not have enough people or resources to enforce safety that is necessary. We call OSHA, you heard him say, and they cannot send someone out because they're busy with other cases. Why is that acceptable in Minnesota? That OSHA, who is here to keep workers safe, does not have the personnel and the resources to keep the members of my local and the workers in this industry safe. Why is that acceptable in our state in 2023 that this is a choice that these professionals have to make? We realize that we have to do more. That's why we need to pass this legislation this year. This is important for all workers in this industry, and it is important that we have enforcement and that our agencies have the resources, the personnel to do this job, to make sure that our members go home, that they go home to their families and children the same way they left in the morning. So this legislation is very long overdue, and it will help with accountability within the industry. This bill helps to prevent airborne disease outbreaks by supplying PPE, provides training, and focuses on equity-centered solutions that protect workers. We have heard true stories today from meatpacking workers from Worthington to Austin and St. Cloud in this room. It takes a lot of courage to stand up and tell your story, and to stand up and dare to try to do something to make the change that is necessary. Meatpacking workers are doing that here today. They have continued to do that and will continue as long as necessary. They drove 2 to 3 hours from Greater Minnesota to be here in person today to make this difference because they know that they deserve a better shake at life. We're asking for a fair and level playing field for the safety of meatpacking workers and the security of our food supply in Minnesota. House File 23 provides consistency, accountability, which are sorely needed in this industry. And we must do better to protect these essential workers and to keep Minnesota fed. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your testimony. The next person I have on my list is Representative Myers.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just had a question for Representative Wolgamont on, you know, this is an industry I'm not super familiar with, so I've learned a lot here, and I appreciate you bringing the bill forward. On line 2.3, it talks about meatpacking operations that are not included.
And specifically, there's a term that says immediate consumption. I'm just wondering if you can define what immediate is for me.
Representative Wolgamott.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Thank you for the question. So you kind of have to look at it in context of the other words. So meat packing operation, meat processing employer does not mean a grocery store, deli, restaurant, or other business preparing meat or poultry products for immediate consumption. So this is a facility, this isn't a plant, this is not at your local restaurant or grocery store or something that's handling meat that is prepared to, for immediate consumption, meaning like you're there to purchase it, you're going to buy a sandwich and eat it right there if you want to take it home.
Representative,
or whatever you would, wherever you would eat a sandwich, Mr. Chair.
Representative Myers.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So one follow-up question to that. So, you know, we know a lot of our grocery stores have, you know, butchers in there. Do you mean to say that if I bought raw hamburger to take home that was prepared there to be cooked at home, that would be one of the exempt employers?
Representative Wolgamott.
Mr. Chair, Representative Myers, that's correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Any further questions? Representative Mecklen or Representative Schultz?
Yes. Chair Nelson, I so appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thank you. Could we ask Ms. Rena Wong back to the podium?
Ms.
Thanks
Wong?
For your... Thanks for your comments and to the workers. We certainly appreciate hearing your stories today. It's very appreciated. And so one question for you and for the whole of your membership is what role does your union play in protecting the workers, and is that relationship currently working in protection of the workers across Minnesota?
Ms. Wong.
Thank you. We have health and safety committees through our represented plants. And our health and safety committees are made up of members, stewards, members of management to help identify and alleviate health and safety concerns. But we understand that it is different from plant to plant, and that while our members have these protections because they have a union, that not all workers have the benefit of having a union, and that these health and safety issues should not just be things that union members have protections. Every worker in this industry should have these same protections, and we hope to create a standard across the board so that it is a level playing field for all employers.
Representative Schultz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. To your point, all of the testimony that we have heard today from employees has been from union workers. We don't have any testimony here today from folks who are not a part of a union and have not shared concerns. Further, this legislation, one could say protects small businesses, but those employers under 50 who might often not be unionized. Is the union doing a good job protecting its employees today?
Ms. Wong.
Thank you. I think we're doing a good job for all workers, which is why we're here today. If we were not concerned about all workers, we would just stick with the plants where we represent workers and not be here today and not have our members come 2 or 3 hours from greater Minnesota to come testify and try to bring to light the conditions that exist within this industry. And you have heard from folks here who do talk with and service non-union workers. You do have folks here today from St. Cloud whose plant is not represented. They are not our members. But we know that those community organizations, Fae Justicia and the Greater Minnesota Worker Center, have very much invested heavily in ensuring that workers in their communities are represented, and they are here today. And it is difficult for workers to be able to get off work, especially when they don't have a union, because how do they get that time off? You know, with a union, our members have union leave. We can put in and request time off for them. Workers who do not have that representation do not have that luxury and that privilege that all of us here today do have to be able to be in person.
Representative Schultz, one more, then I got to know somebody else on the list.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And, well, I would just note, like, the concerns, the biggest grievances raised today were from facilities that are unionized, and so frankly, I'm shocked and concerned for the union workers in the room and across the state that the relationships that, whether it's you yourself or your union, that they have, whether it's with OSHA or Dolly, that these concerns aren't being properly addressed. And I certainly want to protect the workers who aren't here to share their stories and aren't a part of a union. I hear your point, but you didn't really answer my question about, you know, how you're protecting your members if there are these concerns that were laid out today.
Ms. Wong.
I answered your question by letting you know that we are here today. This legislature, folks who are here, are elected by the people, by my members and other workers in this industry, to help enact laws that protect workers, not just our union members, but all workers in this industry, which is such an important calling, and I would hope a calling that we all share, that we are here for the people, for workers, to ensure that they have safe workplaces. And I'm actually, frankly, surprised that we have not already been able to enact these rules and to have the enforcement necessary to make sure that these workers are safe in Minnesota.
Thank you, Ms. Wong. Representative Greenman, next on my list.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Wolgamott. You know, I heard this bill last year, and we heard from workers, and thank you all for being here. We saw you on Zoom last year or 2 years ago in a really, really difficult time for for you all working in this industry, and I know it is a huge trek, so thank you for making the time. And I also know, and Representative Schultz, last year we heard a letter, an anonymous letter, from a worker in a non-union plant who talked about their experiences. And one of the things when we talk about whistleblower protections is that the protections that the workers have here who are in unions, they don't always have in non-union plants. And so when we hear from workers who are advocating for all workers, it really is those non-union plants that that we have to be looking out for. You know, I wish my colleagues across the aisle were as upset and frustrated with the giant corporations, the consolidated corporations, the meat processing corporations that are hurting people, as they are with the enforcement agency that is just running, frankly, on understaffed, trying to keep up. The reality is there's no amount of enforcement that's going to be after the fact enforcement that's going to be able to solve a problem that is being created when we hear about line speed. And when we hear about practices that are hurting folks, the after the fact enforcement, we heard about this with in the warehouses as well, is not enough. This is about prevention. In this industry, the four largest meatpacking companies control 54% of the meat poultry processing, 66% of pork processing, and 85% of beef packing. We're talking about giant corporations that impact thousands of workers. So when we think about the practices that we're looking at, we heard the OSHA, the federal OSHA investigation that found child labor in cleaning facilities at some of these big plants. These are unscrupulous employers, and what this bill does is says we're going to set up a safety program that's required to have ergonomics and physicians and workers that are actually going to proactively ensure that we have standards and practices. Because you know what's not happening? That's not happening in these non-union plants. It's only happening because there's worker safety committees and union plants. And so when we talk about government, right, what you all are talking about, this is actually a way that in the private sector, workers and management can take measures that will prevent these injuries. Because we don't want to wait until someone gets their hand in a press or until someone gets carpal tunnel, these musculoskeletal injuries. And as you mentioned, Representative Meckland, we have heard about these musculoskeletal injuries in a lot of big consolidated industries. And so I just really want to thank you because I do think that this is long overdue. Thank you for coming to it. And at the end of the day, all of our jobs should be about keeping workers safe. And I think that this bill empowers workers and companies to do that. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair, briefly.
Representative Meckland. briefly?
I think it's kind of unfortunate you making the assumption that I am not, or any of us over on the side of the aisle, are not concerned about the big meatpacking plants, because quite frankly, I'd like to see a locker or a butcher shop in every dang small town out there. It's the problem. It's this kind of stuff is what consolidates it all into the bigger companies, who has the administrative staff to even comply with all this. If you eliminate this type of stuff, we would have every small town would have their lockers back like we had when I was growing up. And these companies are not being run well. I hear all kinds of stories. But if OSHA and Dolly are not going to enforce what a lot of this is already in the books, and the same stuff we heard in the Amazon bill. And we all heard that. And in a year's time, nobody followed up. And did any of us get an answer from them? Because to me, it was like they talked for a long time, but didn't really say anything. But I'm sorry, Mr. Chair, but to assume that none of us over here are concerned about something when you have absolutely, you've never asked me about it. That's kind of crossing a line there.
Mr. Chair.
I'm going to go to the next person on the list. I don't want to have the back and forth.
Mr. Chair,
questioning people's motives. Quickly.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I appreciate that, Representative Meckland. I was just listening to what you were saying, and I didn't hear you mention the company at all. So I appreciate that, and I'm looking forward to the conversation. But from your statements in this committee, I heard about OSHA, but I did not hear you mention those companies that are hurting people. And so look forward to further conversations.
This is on the Representative Berg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. First of all, I just want to say to the workers, as a flight attendant, I was an essential frontline worker and exposed to all sorts of people from all sorts of places in a very small confined space. So I see you, and thank you so much for sharing your stories here. I sort of want to correct, just for the audience or anybody viewing, Ms. Representative Schultz, when you made remarks about a union. Having a union doesn't stop you from being injured. I mean, the union does not wrap workers up in bubble wrap and say, okay, now you're protected because as your union, we do that. What happens with a union is after something happens, because this bill hasn't been passed yet for preventative care, what happens afterwards is you sort of have a process that you bring to the company, a grievance procedure, if you will, that says, okay, I'm out here, this has happened to me, so now what happens? It holds the company accountable in so much as it can. It also, as Ms. Wong mentioned, gives the ability to have employees and employers sit at a table on such committees to discuss together, management, labor, what they can do to make things better. So, in a sense, with the union, it's not they're going to protect you at all moments that you're on your shift. There's a bit of a stopgap afterwards. Nice look on your face. It's very condescending. There's a stopgap afterwards for that. In a non-union plant, you have absolutely no recourse after something happens. I am a flight attendant. I've sat on our Master Executive Council grievance council, and what happens was the worker has to go through the remainder of the flights, and then afterwards there's a grievance procedure to say, you know, to level the playing field, where it's not the company saying this is what happened and it's not just the employee saying what this is happening, but in collaboration we then come to an agreement to make the worker whole. So I just want to make it clear to you the difference between a union and non-union plan.
Quickly, Representative Schultz, we're kind of steering far away from the bill. Representative Schultz, if you can go quickly.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I appreciate the respect that you provide to all the members of this committee. I'll just add that 11 different government entities today have jurisdiction over the safety of workers today. Will a 12th different entity be the thing that brings about safety for our workers in Minnesota? That's the open question for us today. In addition to onerous regulations and mandates that make it more difficult to do business here in Minnesota. That's the question before us, members, and I appreciate the conversation today.
Representative Jordan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a number of questions for Commissioner Blissenbach, if she's available. And President Wong, as you leave, I want to thank you and the members of Local 663 for standing up for worker safety. You're giving a voice to workers who don't have a voice today, and I want to thank you for that. And everything you do to make sure your members have a voice on the job. So thank you for that, and thank you, workers, for bringing your voices here. But, Commissioner, I am a new member of the Labor Committee, and I'm just curious, how many inspectors does OSHA have in Minnesota right now?
Mr. Commissioner.
Chair Nelson, members of the committee, currently, I believe we, give or take a few, have about 50 inspectors for the entire state.
Representative Jordan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Commissioner, is that, and is that, what is it, how does that compare to other years? Is that as, how many does, should Minnesota have for a state? What is typical for the number of inspectors?
Commissioner.
Chair Nelson, members of the committee, so we are in the process of building up. We did get a little bit more funding 2 years ago, and so we have been able to hire additional OSHA inspectors. I will say COVID, the time period over COVID definitely put a strain on the staff we do have. Just last year alone, we conducted more than 1,300 inspections. So this is with the 50 inspectors. We had 50 fatality investigations and responded to almost 10,000 email and phone inquiries, and that was in the last fiscal year. So there definitely is a strain on the amount of staff that we have in our OSHA compliance division, and you know, it's hard to say how many we would need to address every safety and health hazard that exists in the entire state of Minnesota, but 50 is not enough.
Representative Jordan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And so, Commissioner, then, what would it mean, then, to have a workers' rights coordinator housed at Dolly to really respond to all of this? What would that mean practically for the workers here who are testifying that they are not feeling safe at work? What would that mean that your office would be able to do differently?
Commissioner.
Chair Nelson, members of the committee, having a point person assigned to a specific industry or a specific workplaces allows a number of things. It allows, you know, the contact information to be out there. So workers, unions, worker representatives, worker advocates know who that person is. It allows expertise to be really funneled into an individual who can know that industry, can know those types of job sites. So there are benefits to having an individual that is assigned to one specific industry.
Mr. Chair, one final question.
Final question.
Thank you. And before I ask it, I would like to request a roll call on this vote.
Roll call is being requested. There'll be a roll call.
Thank you. And so, Commissioner, then, would this workers' rights coordinator respond only to union workers, or what workers would this person be responsible for?
Commissioner.
Chair Nelson, members of the committee, our responsibility is to respond to all workers, whether they're unionized or not. We have that responsibility.
Thank you.
Representative Mecklen.
I moved my notes here. Commissioner, would this bill, will this require non-union meatpacking facilities to become union?
Commissioner.
Chair Nelson, members of the committee, no, I don't believe that is in the bill.
Can anybody answer that question? Perhaps the author of the bill?
Mr. Chair, Representative Mecklen, no.
Mr. Chair, collective bargaining. Will it require collective bargaining?
My reading of the bill, would be, I would say no. That's something, but Representative Walkabout would be?
Mr. Chair, Representative Mecklen, no. Okay. Doesn't pertain to, that's outside of the scope of the bill.
I'm hearing a lot from this side that they're looking to put more OSHA inspectors on, so I'm pleased by that. Representative McDonald, if you want to close.
I get to close, Mr. Chair?
You get to close, and we'll get to a vote here.
Good, thank you. Representative Rogamont, thank you, first of all, for the bill, in so much of the fact that he and I had a discussion after our last committee and informed me of the DE2 amendment. And I appreciated that heads up. And B, I think many employees with 50 or 49 or less are very appreciative of that division, that particular amendment. Certainly a painting with a broad brush, a one-size-fit-all, doesn't work. You recognize that for this particular bill. And I just want to point out that provision in the bill and certainly would recommend perhaps, I just wanted to hear from you, Representative Wolgamott, because you had the wisdom to know this is very good legislation to make sure that the paid family leave, the sick and safe time, and House File 1104, the pregnancy accommodation modified, certainly with those that would had all employees from one to up to 1,000, you recognized that in your bill that this would not be good for small meat packing businesses, small mom and pop businesses. Your opening statement was wonderful. I use that all the time myself, regarding that you didn't want this to have an impact on mom and pop businesses. I don't think nobody does here. But the other bills will have a huge impact. We know that. The paid family sick leave, the safe and sick time, and the pregnancy modifications will have a huge impact on small mom and pop businesses. Matter of fact, as we met here, the Senate is meeting as well, discussing the same bill, as you know, Mr. Chair, and Senator Putnam had just modified the bill as well. He must have talked to you and sought your wisdom, because he too has changed the bill to go from 50 employees or up, because he knew that that would be hard on businesses and hurt businesses in Minnesota. And his, matter of fact, his quote was, he wants to help businesses grow in Minnesota. So he recognizes that that's very difficult to do for small mom-and-pop businesses. So, and Representative Wolgamott realizes this. His bill will not hurt small mom-and-pop businesses because he's having a 50 or less. Representative Wolgamott, I would presume that you, with your very good bill not hurting mom-and-pop businesses with the 50, 49 employees or less, should have that same effect on the other bills that have come forward that we have saw here. Just curious your thoughts on that.
Representative Wolgamott.
Mr. Chair, I believe that we are discussing a motion to send House File 23 to the Agriculture Committee.
And we're discussing this bill, yes, not the other, not other bills, but yes. Representative McDonald.
Oh, Mr. Chair, well, welcome on. I was hoping for a little bit better answer from you, or not better, but something more descriptive. But this in your bill, it also has paid and family sick time, of earned safe and sick time for 50 employees or more. So because of that component, would you think it'd be wise to perhaps not do the same thing with those other bills?
Representative Wolgamott, like I said, I think we're discussing House File 23, not the other ones that we've seen before.
Mr. Chair and Representative McDonald, I don't think it's appropriate to talk about other bills that aren't before us and that are in different committees. I'm here to talk about House File 23, and I'm grateful for the feedback and the conversations that I've had with you over the years that we've had this bill before us, as well as with those mom-and-pop businesses that we want to take care of. You know, as the author of this legislation, I think it's important that we always listen to the concerns of the minority. Sometimes they bring up good points, and it's important to hear those out. And sometimes small businesses bring up good points, and it's important to hear those out. And I don't want to speak to any bills that aren't before us, because that's sort of outside of our rules here. But I will just comment on this bill that I appreciate the collaboration I've had with you and with the small mom and pop businesses to get the bill in a shape that, you know, that we can get there, that we can have that threshold and make sure that, you know, we're not painting with the one size fits all approach. And I'm grateful we've had those conversations, and I'm grateful for your support for that measure in the bill.
Representative Donalds, if you want to finish up. And
yes, we got a vote here. Well, thank you, Representative Wolgamott. I couldn't agree with you more. I think we both made the point. I did want to make the point, obviously, regarding the other bills, paid family sick leave that we saw here, the earned safe and sick time that we saw here, and the pregnancy accommodations modified that we saw here and voted on, that Representative Wolgamott recognizes that a bill, one size fits all, with a big sledgehammer, is not good for small businesses. And unfortunately, that's what your party is doing with those other bills. I'm grateful for Representative Wolgamott working with the minority, recognizing the flaws of the bill from last year and changing it. That's good lawmaking. He's listened to his constituents. He listened to the business community. He's listened to the unions. That's good lawmaking. We do not practice good lawmaking for the most part. We ignore each other. We do it on our side. You guys do it on your side. We ignore amendments. We dismiss some good ideas. We've done it before, and you guys do it as well. That's what's really a shame in Minnesota politics. Wouldn't you guys agree that we can't work together just because we're in the minority or we're in the majority? Representative Wolgamott worked with the minority and his business community and saw that there was flaws in the bill from last year, and he fixed them. But we don't do that here often, and I commend you on that.
You.
And I think I might even vote for your bill today.
Thank you.
And that's all I have to say about that, as Forrest Gump would say.
Thank you, Representative McDonald. And members, I just want to say here that while this bill goes after all meat packers at 50 and above, I've got to say that there are good union companies and there are bad union companies. There are good non-union companies. There's good union employees out there, on whether they're union or not. This is, bill isn't aimed at the good ones, because the good ones are probably only doing most of this stuff. But as we go forward, this is a bill to help these workers in this industry who have had issues and who are getting injured, to work to try and prevent them from getting injured. I come out of the construction field, like Representative Mecklen does, and we work around dangerous things and dangerous positions all the time. It's being careful and working safely on those jobs, and this is what this bill is trying to do. So Representative Wolgamut, you can wrap up, and we'll get to a vote.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for that, Lee McDonald, and thank you, members, for the discussion. In closing, I just want us to think about who this bill is all about. It's about our workers, our meat and poultry processing workers, who through the pandemic had to make gut-wrenching choices. I got phone calls. I don't know if I should go into work and earn money to provide for my family, or if I should stay home and be safe and keep my family safe. No one in our state should have to make those decisions. Mr. Chair, members, I ask for your support to send this bill to the Agriculture Committee so that we can make sure our meat and poultry processing workers have the protections they deserve. I want to thank so much the testifiers who came here today, and I want to thank all meat and poultry processing workers across the state of Minnesota who work hard, who sacrifice to put food on all of our tables. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and members, I urge your support.
And Representative Wolgamut renews his motion that House File 23 as amended be referred to the Agricultural Finance and Policy Committee. Roll call has been requested. The clerk will take the roll.
Chair Nelson?
Aye.
Nelson, aye. Vice Chair Berg?
Aye.
Berg, aye. Lead McDonald?
Aye.
McDonald, aye. Representative Daniels?
Aye.
Daniels, aye. Representative Greenman?
Aye.
Greenman, aye. Mm-hmm. Representative Hill?
Aye.
Hill, aye. Representative Hussein?
Aye.
Hussein, aye. Representative Jordan?
Jordan, aye.
Jordan, aye. Representative Kozlowski?
Aye.
Kozlowski, aye. Representative Meckland?
No.
Meckland, nay. Representative Myers?
Aye.
Myers, aye. Representative Schultz?
Nay.
Schultz, nay. Representative Wolgamut?
Aye.
Wolgamut, aye. Mr. Chair, the conclusion of roll call, there are 11 ayes and 2 nays.
With 11 ayes and 2 nays, the motion prevails. The bill is on its way to the Agriculture Finance Committee.
Thank you.
Members, with that, that's the end of our agenda for today. And with that, we are adjourned.